since your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the breath to praise you, Lord. May I use it wisely. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Well, I'm going to try and stay with my notes tonight. So that I'm sorry. I really don't want to go into overtime. Where was I supposed to pull over? When his presence is here, and needs are being met. I get it. If it's a boring PowerPoint slide, and you can read the slide just as good as the person that's presenting it, but when it's just coming and it's meeting your particular need, there were things that were being dealt with that you have no idea this morning. I had no idea, but the Lord did. And we just cherish those times. Amen. So, try not to worry out here tonight. No promises, but we'll try. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or mature, or coming to completion, wisdom. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, if we're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, then God would have to clear that up for you, wouldn't he? Otherwise, what good is wisdom if it's a mystery? But he reveals to you. He reveals it to his children. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Friends, I'm excited about what I can see and what I can think about. And Paul's telling us, it's whatever you can imagine, it's greater than that. In fact, you can't even try and imagine the greatest thing you can imagine. It's greater than that. Because you can't even imagine. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? I got a pretty good imagination, and I had to rein it in growing up because otherwise I'd set myself up for a disappointment. I'd be so excited about the state fair or whatever, and just almost convinced something's going to happen, I'm not going to get to go, and I have all these expectations, you know, and I would set my expectations a little too high sometimes, and you get disappointed, and so I learned to temper it to, you know, expect good things, but just, you know, if it's greater than what you expected, hallelujah. If it isn't, if it just meets your expectations, well, you're not disappointed, right? But when it comes to the things of God, you can't be disappointed. Because you can't even, it's not even possible for you to exceed in your expectations what he has for you. I believe that's true in this life, too. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let him do the searching, let him do the thinking. Trust him, commit it into his hands. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you can receive it intellectually, but you can't know it without the Spirit of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And the church says,
amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we gather together in the evening time, Lord, we're refreshed from, Lord, what you did this morning for us. And we're so thankful and we're so grateful. And Lord, we don't think it's presumptuous, and we don't think it ungrateful for us to ask for more tonight. In fact, I believe it's complimentary, Lord, because it shows that we believe that you're more than able, Father, that you can do it again and again and again. And Father, you've told us many times that the reason why we have not is because we ask not. And then sometimes we're asking, but we're not asking in the right manner, or we're not asking in faith, believing, and so we're asking in vain. Tonight we're asking in faith, Lord. And we're coming boldly before your throne, and we're in great expectation, Lord, that you'll meet every need that's in this building tonight and those that are listening in. Father, bless our brothers and sisters that can't be here with us. And I thank you for bringing our brother Verlin back into service with us again, Lord. And our brother Michael and our young brother Avila, Lord. And all the work that you're doing, Lord, in the body. All that, Lord, you're meeting. You're not letting one promise go unanswered. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. Well, we're here tonight, Lord, for another portion, and so we come boldly before you asking, Lord, knowing that it is your good pleasure to give us the things of the kingdom. Bless each and every one. Encourage each and every one, Lord. And Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I sure appreciate the specials, and I hope that means that you're just gearing up for the special meetings. And it's special when you contribute to it. And as we can see, every one of us has something to contribute, and we're grateful and thankful for that. I'd like to read this statement that we read just before we close this morning. Brother Brown says, "Now what was it? The virgin mind, womb, virgin womb of the baby. Results? Eternal life. Eve, a good woman as she was, virgin as she was, but first she let the doubt come in by the word, a devil's lie. And what did he do? Brought her into contact in the wrong way. And what was the child? What was the result? What was the fruit of that? Death. Mary, virgin mind, virgin womb. When the devil tried to tempt her, and he come, and the angel come to her, and then said, 'You're going to have a baby.' Satan said, 'Now you better be quiet about that.' The angel said, 'It's an act of God.'" And she no doubt thought of Isaiah 9:6. She was already thinking about it. And she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." What's the results? Virgin birth, eternal word in her, and she brought forth eternal life. So is it with each and every one of us, friends. We are born again of life eternal. And as we've went through that little series of what is eternal life, it's not just a continuation of mortal life. It's a different kind of life altogether. And that life is now sealed inside of your soul. It can't be contaminated. It can't be lost. And it can't run down or run out. And it can't be taken from us. And we can't lose it. Now that's shouting material right there. Once we are sealed, Satan turns his attention away from our soul. He works on our flesh, our soul, our spirit. But once that soul is sealed, he can't get in there. But he still wants to give you a hard time. So he can't affect your soul. He can't cause that anchor to come loose. He can't change your faith, your belief that's down in the soul. He can't change your destination. He can't talk you into something or talk you out of it once it's anchored in the soul. So once we are sealed, he turns his attention away from our soul and begins to work on those other two realms once again. Prior to our new birth, he works on our spirit and on our flesh, and he knows that our soul is already under his domain. Our soul was born doubting. Our soul was born with the nature of this world. He knows that the nature of our soul will not allow us to live all that we make up our minds to do in our thinking, because it's not possible without a conversion in our lives. We will try to keep the word, and that's good, and we should. But we cannot fully live and manifest the word until we are converted, and the Holy Ghost comes in to quicken that word that's on the inside of us. So no matter how hard we try, and we should, we cannot live out God's word that we receive in our minds if we're not born again. It's the word that's quickened in the soul that produces. So Satan lets us think that we're okay. Lets us believe that we have received the Holy Ghost when yet we've had an intellectual conception. We're sanctified and set aside for service. Couldn't put a finger on our lives. We've got a new spirit. And the Spirit of God is dealing with us, anointing us. Satan will tell you, you've gone far enough, you're okay, but he knows that you're not okay. He sanctions what we do in the flesh, and we feel religious. But once the soul is birthed by the Spirit and the Word, it's sealed, and it has a new nature in it, and it's filled with life in place of the life of death that was in your soul before you were born again of the Spirit. Satan cannot touch that soul. So he focuses on the born-again believer. He focuses on the flesh realm and the spirit realm. A sinner can receive their healing sometimes much easier than a born-again believer. Why is that? It's because the spirit realm is a womb, and Satan tries to abort the word of God before it can reach the soul. Once it's in the soul, it can't be taken from you. But Satan can try and clog that channel. He can try and clog your mind, the channel of your spirit, and keep that word from ruling over your flesh. We still make choices, friends, after we are born again of the Spirit. The battle continues to rage. And in fact, it actually rages more in the spirit realm after your new birth than it did before. But you have within your soul now the Word, and within that Word is the power to overcome all things. The Spirit is there to quicken that Word, reveal it to you, and then quicken it. And then that power that's in that Word is released when we think on His thoughts versus the devil's thoughts. And as we saw last week, your healing is in your soul because the Son of God is living in your soul. Healing is there. When sickness comes upon you, friends, your flesh tells you sickness is here. Your spirit realm then begins to think about it and meditate on it and reason with it. And that's when you need the mind of Christ to occupy your thinking. A battle breaks out in the mind, but the soul remains unmovable and unshakable. So we turn our thoughts from the sickness, and instead we think on His unfailing words of promise. And His word then does the battle with our symptoms. And His word does the battle with our reasoning and with our thinking, with our feelings, with anything that's contrary to the word. And as we resist that sickness, His word drives that sickness from our body. The word is doing it. And healing takes place to build and repair our bodies. But we have to do something to allow that work to take place in us. We have to have our mind in the right channel. We have to have the right mental attitude. Even though it's well within our soul. But what I want you to notice here tonight is that the entire battle for the overcomer is in the mind. If we don't recognize that, we're already behind. The entire battle. It is well with my soul. And the scripture tells us, you know, I would that you would prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's these other two realms where the battle's being fought and where the word is overcoming. So it matters what we believe. It matters what we think. It matters what we meditate on. It matters what we look at. It matters what we gaze upon, what we ponder on. It matters what we let nest in our minds. That's, friends, that's why it's so important Don't let a funny feeling, if there's a funny feeling that comes into the church and it causes you to begin to question and doubt, you need to settle that right away. It doesn't get better by itself. It will hinder the Spirit in your life. So our entire Christian walk is constantly, it's one where we're constantly wanting to hear and receive His Word and meditate on His Word. And then cast down anything that exalts itself above His Word. And you have to be diligent to do that. You have to be on guard to do that. You have to be on duty. Every time you get up in the morning, you have to go on guard duty. You have to realize that there's thoughts that are going to come knocking on the door. And you've got to say, who's there? And the devil will say, well, it's Jesus. Okay, let's give it a test. What do you have to say? Well, you're never going to make it. Well, that ain't Jesus. Well, you're no good. Show me what chapter. Show me what verse. Point me. God doesn't love you. Show me that in the Word of God. It's amazing what we accept from that guy and never take it to the Word. It's a battle. And you've got to fight. So we cast down anything that exalts itself above the Word of God. And His Word takes on flesh then in our lives. Each human being will give an account for what they choose to believe. And what we believe is what we live. And it's ultimately what we become. So to be like Christ, it means to think His thoughts, to have His mind, to talk like Him, to act like Him. It means that we first must think like Him. Because behind every action is a thought. At least we hope so. And He only has one way of thinking. He only has one mind. And that's according to His Word. His thoughts then become our thoughts. So I want to read a little bit more from the medical journals, if I could, here tonight, just to show some other things that science is discovering that backs up what we already know according to the Word. Your brain has billions of neurons, brain cells, and trillions of connections between those neurons. You know, I forget what the fraction of it is that they say that of our brain that we actually use in a lifetime. But you know, the first inhabitants of the earth lived almost 1,000 years. They probably used a few more brain cells than we do. But still, I'm sure that they didn't even come close to tapping into all those brain cells. Brain cells are not physically connected directly with each other like wires in your house or your car. The neurons are connected indirectly through special chemicals called neurotransmitters. And that's why sometimes, friends, a person can be born with what we call a chemical imbalance. And with a chemical imbalance, the transmissions aren't taking place in the way that they're intended to. And so there's things out there that science has discovered that can try and help bring things back into a balance. I don't know why we can accept that when it comes to blood sugar. We can accept that when it comes to kidney problems, heart problems. And everybody will agree, well, it's okay to take this medication, to take insulin or whatever. But when it comes to the brain, it seems like that's taboo, you know. Oh, you're doubting if you do that. Well, then take your glasses off. Because you're doubting. Could God heal? Could God completely heal your vision? Yes. Did He or has He? Or are you walking in it? No. So where are your glasses? When one brain cell talks to another, it sends the message using neurotransmitters. The sending cell releases a tiny packet of chemicals that carries the message to the receiving cell. The scenario repeats itself trillions of times a day. There's a lot going on up there, even when it doesn't seem like it. The amount and distribution of the neurotransmitters is critical to the normal functioning of your brain. Every thought that you think is embedded at some level in the chemistry of your brain. Your thoughts are stored in chemicals in your brain. What if it's a negative thought? And you're storing it in your brain. Come on, friends, you don't want to store poison in your body, do you? If you're going to store a thought, make it a positive one. When you say that someone has a positive mind, you infer their positive thoughts are embedded in the biochemistry of their brain. Your brain consists of hundreds of different types of molecules, chemicals, arranged in a highly complex configuration. Some of those chemicals are relatively stable structural molecules that create the anatomy of your brain. Other chemicals are non-structural, and they create the physiology of your brain. It takes both types of chemicals to make your brain work. Your brain contains trillions of cells, and each of those cells is a highly organized bag of chemicals. Your brain cells talk to each other using neurotransmitters, which are a different class of chemicals. Electrical impulses transmit messages throughout your central nervous system, and other types of chemicals called ions, or they're charged molecules, particles, are responsible for creating those electrical potentials. Positive self-talk pushes the chemistry of your brain in a positive direction. Positive self-talk. So if you're going to talk to yourself, make sure it's positive. When you use positive self-talk on a regular basis, my wife does it all the time, and she's always happy. You do more than create a positive mind. You actually create a positive brain. Self-talk is the dialogue we use to communicate to ourselves. It is the words that we think. It's the conversations that we're having in our mind. It is the words that we think, and it is the perceptions that we have of situations and of our own self-image. Whether positive or negative, self-talk affects our sense of self-worth, our self-esteem, how we perceive and react to situations. In short, it literally affects everything in our lives, mainly because our thoughts directly determine our actions. So if our thoughts are positive, our actions will also be positive, and vice versa. Our thoughts create our reality. They influence our feelings and our perceptions about what's going on in our lives. They determine what we notice in the world around us and what we attract into our lives. By expecting the negative, we filter out experiences and we interpret events in a way that meets these expectations. And we're not disappointed, because that's what we expected. Do you realize your brain is constantly filtering all of the inputs, all the sensory inputs, bringing it in, and then your brain is deciding. Your brain then forms a picture. Your brain then makes a film. And your brain says, this is reality. And you're not even aware that your brain's doing that. But the film that your brain makes is determined by what you're thinking, by what you believe. So if you don't like the movie, change your thoughts. It is a fact. You can sit and observe the very same thing that I sit and observe, and then we can be interviewed. This happens at crime scenes all the time. They go and they interview. This one says this, that one says that. And they say, well, one of you's lying because you're saying something different. No, that's your perception. That's what you recall. That's what your brain latched onto. That's what your brain decided to focus on. And believe me, friends, there's a whole lot more going on around you than what your brain ultimately distills and you're conscious of. Your brain has already done a whole lot of work. No wonder it needs rest at night. It's done all this work, and we aren't even aware of it. But it's determined by our thought patterns. That's powerful. Our thoughts create our reality. They influence our feelings and perceptions about what's going on in our lives. They determine what we notice in the world around us and what we attract into our lives. By expecting the negative, we filter our experiences and interpret events in a way that meets these expectations. We see only, you know this is true. You've been around people, and maybe you've been in that rut before. I know I certainly have, where all they do is recognize the negative, right? And maybe all you do is recognize the positive. We see only the negative side of each situation. We pay more attention to the negative comments from others, to the decisions we've made that weren't the best, and to the plans that didn't work out. Well, what about the ones that did? Well, this prayer wasn't answered. What about the one that was? Nobody likes me. What about the ones that do? Nothing good ever happens to me. You're just looking at the wrong thing. You're a miracle from start to finish. Grace, grace. I've got about 20 quotes I'm going to read here tonight, and so I hope you don't mind, but I just want to back these things up from the message of the hour. Talking in a group of doctors the other day, he said, I read your book on divine healing. I said, well, I guess you criticized. Brother Ram was so used to that. That was his right. He says, no, sir, I admit that you're right. And I said, well, thank you, Dr. Schoen. And he said, Brother Branham, we have a record that when we tell a person that's got a malignancy or something that's going to kill them, an ulcer that's ready to burst or tubercular, it depends on what attitude they take. If they get all tore up and say, well, they die right away, but said, if they take the attitude, well, dying is just a part of living, it's all right when I die, said, you know, it almost retards the case. Just their approach to it. I just thought, if that mental attitude taken like that, what will it do when the Holy Spirit strikes the inner man? There it is. And I asked him that. And he said, certainly, that's right. If you can move into that spot, move up into that, one of the best surgeons and doctors there is in the Southland, he said, Mr. Branham, it can be proved. If a man can move up to that spot until even his own mind don't even know what he's got, that he's got it, to think that he's got it, and doesn't pay any attention to it, speaking about a sickness or whatever, said it wouldn't do it if he can believe that. That's true. You ever notice people a lot of times when they're diagnosed of a tumor or cancer, some people just die right away because they're just scared to death and they're I've got it and this is the end. And other people, a decade later, keep on ticking like a Timex watch, right? Sorry, another decade, another century. This is from Awakening Jesus. The mental attitude you take towards it. Now, the mind won't do it. So the mind isn't what's going to heal you. The mind isn't what's going to change you. But if you give that attitude towards something that's got life in it, then the life comes down and does it. So you say, well, if the mind doesn't do it, well, the mind has to get out of the way and allow that life to come through. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you in the presence of Him. Well, you've got to get into the presence of Him. And that's what you do, your mind. The five senses is all right as long as they don't deny God. But when they go to denying God, well, you leave them alone. God controls. That's the Creator. Again, expectation. We always get what we expect. That's true, isn't it? When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what you're looking for, what you look for. It's a mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. So you have to have the right mental attitude. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere. If you're a Christian, and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. Again, Just what I was trying to do to the woman was to get her in the right mental attitude. She wouldn't have to be prayed for. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed, is that right? That a sower sowed into the ground. And every seed will bring forth of its own kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it in your heart. That means it has to go through your mind. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. We see that many, many times. You know, you try and pull back. And if you did that with a plant, you know, you planted a seed into the ground, you know, and you're starting to stress, what if I planted it upside down? Well, the seed will work it out. The seed will figure out which way is up. The seed will respond to the sun. So if the sun is up, it'll that shoot will go down and turn around and come right back up. You don't got to worry about it. But if you dig it up, it's not going to come forth. You got to commit it into the ground. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. In other words, you're checking your symptoms. Commit it to God. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there, water it by faith, and praise every day, thanking God for it. Again, the right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that, and you say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it, see? Don't let the devil know that. He doesn't know if your faith is weak or not unless you tell him. Don't let the devil know that. Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. And when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Amen. You're not denying that there might still be manifestations of symptoms in your body, but you're denying that you're sick. It's a lie. And you're battling it out. Believe that you're healed. Take him at his word. Then it's all over on God then and not on you. Now he can do his part. As long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what it's promised to do. We don't have to help the word. In fact, if you help the word, you'll hinder. Again, in healing line, Brother Branham says, now go rejoicing, sister. Eat now and enjoy your food. And God bless you. Let's say, thanks be to our Lord Jesus. Now it's your mental attitude towards the approach. Mental attitude of the approach. Jesus could not do mighty works because of what? Unbelief. That's a mental attitude. Again, take God at his word and get a happy mental attitude towards it. And start rejoicing, saying, God, you said so. And it's got to come to pass. Yes, sir. She didn't wait until she was positive. No, sir. God's positive. Again, he says, here's a statement that I usually make in the healing services. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. See? Because it's a seed. Our job is to create the atmosphere. Again, and if the right mental attitude, you just take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise and watch what it materializes. Watch what it materializes. See, no matter how it looks, if it looks impossible, if God said so, he makes it possible. Again, no matter how downcast you are, whether you're a potentate or whether you're a streetwalker, God loves you just the same. And he died just as much for the prostitute as he did for the potentate or the king, right? You go to thinking of those things, then it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the whole mental attitude. It changes your opinion towards God. God, you love me just as much as you love the rich man. Again, Jesus Christ the same. He says, and let me say this now, that the word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, anytime, or any place. He will defeat the devil. And the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it the way God wrote it and accept it in your heart, So it's got to go through your mind in order to receive it in your heart. God will make that word become life. Again, he says, I say this, that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass if you can get the right mental attitude towards the divine promise. So he's saying the same thing over and over and over, right? Again, I can go on record for this tonight. If any people will take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise that God ever made and claim it for yours, he will. God will bring it to pass. If you'll take the right attitude towards it, knowing that if God said so, the promise is yours. And it's your personal promise, property, the very minute you receive it that way. Then it has to come to pass. For Jesus said, the word is a seed that the sower sowed. And a seed, if it's germatized seed, and it goes into the ground, then that seed, under the right conditions of sun and moisture, will bring forth the life that's in that seed. Not maybe, it will. And so is the word of God. If a person can take that word and place it in their heart and give it the right sunshine, the right temperature, not S-U-N, but S-O-N, and the right temperature of faith in there, that seed and that promise will live to you just like it did at the beginning to the one it was given to. Because it's God's word, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot fail. And the church says, again from the journals, positive thinking doesn't mean that you keep your head in the sand and ignore life's less pleasant situations. Positive thinking just means that you approach the unpleasantness in a more positive and productive way. You think the best is going to happen, not the worst. Positive thinking often starts with self-talk. Self-talk is the endless stream of unspoken thoughts that run through your head every day. Those automatic thoughts can be positive or negative. Some of your self-talk comes from logic and reason. Other self-talk may arise from misconceptions that you create because of lack of information. If thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more likely pessimistic. That's where they'll say there's the person that we'll have a glass of water that's filled to the, if you put a line on the middle of the glass and you fill that water to that mark in the glass, you ask one person to describe it and they'll say, well, that glass is half empty. Another person will look at it and say, no, it isn't, it's half full. You say they're saying the same thing. No, they're not. One's pessimistic, one's optimistic. It's almost gone. It's almost all there. I got a lot to drink there. If the thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more likely pessimistic. Friends, I can't tell you how many things we were able to accomplish at work over my entire career. Things that we couldn't immediately find solutions to. Things that everybody was saying, no, you can't because, no, you can't because, no, you can't because, no, you can't because. But we went with the attitude, why not? Why not? We challenged every no, you can't. And it's amazing how many no, you can'ts that aren't real. They're not true. They're what people accept. No, you can't. Why not? Well, because you can't. Well, why not? Well, because you can't. Well, who told you that? How do you know that? Have you tried? Do you have any idea how much people just accept? You know, they get inside of a box and they accept what they describe as the walls of that box. But who said those walls are there? There's an effect in physics. When you get down and you're studying particle physics, and that says, in fact, I took that on as a challenge in my modern physics class, the last physics class I had to take in college, where we were looking at that problem of the particle in the box, and you have to use these complicated equations, Schrodinger's equations, to to try to solve it. The math gets real intense, and you know, triple integrals, you're thinking in three or four different dimensions, and most people just, you know, all right, you know, just give me the, what's the bottom line, I'll accept it. Anyway, without going into the complexities of it, is that you can prove mathematically that that particle does not have enough energy to get out of that box. And yet it does. It's called the tunneling effect. You can prove it, but yet it does. So who says that you can't? It's observed to tunnel through, to go through. And I took that on and wasted a lot of time proving that mathematically because I wanted to see it myself. And so I spent a lot of extra time, and then the physics teacher was reviewing it just before our final and called me in was discussing it with a mathematician, another physics teacher, and going through the proofs that I was presenting and the mathematics and saying, yep, that's correct. Yep, you got that right. Yep, that's correct. But then both of them looked at me and said, why are you doing this? Don't you have other things to do? Aren't you an electrical engineer? Why are you trying to prove this physics thing? Well, I don't know. It sounded like the thing to do at the time. I wouldn't try it now, but I've forgotten more than I ever knew. But the fact is that things that we say are impossible happen. So who's to say that it's impossible? We had such a tough time sometimes selling things to management, because management, they challenge everything, and they should. And if you've got thin skin, you'll get offended if they challenge you on this or that, make you prove whatever it is that you are claiming. There's a lot of money involved, and there's lives that are dependent upon whether or not what you're presenting is right or not. And if it isn't right, it may never pan out, and you just wasted resources and time and energy and what have you. So you need to be able to back up whatever it is that you're presenting. And even when you can back it up, this is what I want you to get tonight. Even when you can provide the right kind of proof or evidence, people will still doubt, because that's been doubted. It's always been, you can't do that. So now, for the very first time, you're providing facts and evidence, and people still aren't necessarily persuaded, right? And that's when it takes a little something extra to try to, convince them and get them to buy in. And success is one of the, you know, you start building a track record, you start doing what you said, others say that you couldn't do. And after a while, people will begin to accept that, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't see how you could do it, but you've done this before, haven't you? And every time you've said it, you've done it. So, all right, we'll go along with this, but I still don't see how it could happen. If their attitude is, it can't happen, they'll never invest in it, and you'll never get an opportunity to prove it. If the engineer approaches it with, well, nobody's ever done this before, people say it can't be done. You remember I don't want to get too off topic here tonight, but you remember the first man to run the 4-minute mile? Anybody remember that? That ran the mile in less than 4 minutes? That's right, yeah. Jim Ryan, that's right. So he had to believe that he could do it, right? And every champion athlete will tell you the same thing. They had to believe that they could do it, right? Whereas others were having trouble actually believing that. there was this barrier called 4 minutes. You couldn't break it. And think about it, friends. People aren't physiologically better. If anything, we're running downhill. Our bodies are breaking down. So we're not more talented or physiologically today. Our DNA is not better. If anything, it's running downhill. So why were we stuck at that barrier for so long? And we were. We were stuck at that 4 minute barrier for, it was years. Then all of a sudden, Jim Ryan broke that barrier. And it wasn't, I don't remember how long it was. It wasn't very long after. Then this one did it. Then that one did it. Then this one did it. And then they went, 3 minutes and so many other seconds or whatever. What am I trying to get at? It was a mental barrier. How about the sound barrier? Right? To break the sound barrier, well, you can't, you'll be annihilated. Nobody can do that. And that was attempted and pushed, and there was all kinds of debate and arguing, but somebody believed they could do it. And one day they did it. And now it happens all the time. I just heard, I've been hearing it for last several weeks. I hear sonic booms over where we're at. I think it might be the F-16s from the Air Force Base that's out doing their maneuvers, and I'll hear a boom, and I'll hear a boom, and I'll hear a boom. And it might be F-22s from Luke Air Force Base up in Phoenix area. But they're breaking the sound barrier. It's just routine now. But at one time, you can't do it. At one time, you couldn't sail around the world because the earth is flat, and if you're just going to fall off the edge of the earth, Who believes that now? Morons. Yeah, there's people that believe that, even if you prove it to them. Even when you give them pictures of what the earth looks like from the moon, they still say it's flat. Guess Hollywood must have cooked that up or something, What am I getting at? Don't limit your thinking. Because what you limit your thinking to is what you're limited to. God's not limited. He can do anything. And if He's given you His Word, don't limit the Word by your thinking. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you've done these things over and over and over. You did it for this one, that one. We've got proof. You came in our day and vindicated it. You proved that it was your word. You did it over and over. So, Lord, I know you can do it. So it's not a matter. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you can. So I'm just going to take you at your word, and I'm going to believe for the impossible. And I'm going to hold on to that, and I'm going to confess. I'm not going to let negative thinking get in the way, because that'll clog the channel, and then that word will never find its resting place. If the thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more likely pessimistic. If your thoughts are mostly positive, you're likely an optimist, someone who practices positive thinking. Notice, practice. Practice. The health benefits of positive thinking. I know we touched on some of these before, but these are some other thoughts that I just want to introduce here tonight. Researchers continue to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health. Health benefits that positive thinking may provide include increased lifespan, lower rates of depression, lower levels of distress, greater resistance to the common cold, better physiological and physical well-being, reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease. Men's hearts are failing from? Fear is a negative emotion, isn't it? Caused by negative thoughts and negative pressures. Reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease, better coping skills through hardships and times of stress. It's unclear why people who engage in positive thinking experience these health benefits. This is what science is saying, not what we're saying. It is clear to us. They're looking at it from a scientific. They're looking for a cause and effect. It's unclear why people who engage in positive thinking experience these health benefits. One theory is that having a positive outlook enables you to cope better with stressful situations, which reduces the harmful health effects of stress on your body. It's also thought that positive and optimistic people tend to live healthier lifestyles. They get more physical activity, they follow a healthier diet, they don't smoke or drink alcohol in excess. Positive thinking reduces stress by eliminating negative self-talk. You don't have to talk to somebody for very long to find out what kind of self-talk that they have. If you just listen to what they're saying, is it positive or is it negative? If it's negative, that's the kind of thing that's going on in the mind all the time. You're your own worst enemy. But God. But God. But God. You know what excites me, Sister Joyce? What excites me, well, there's a lot of things that excite me, but what excites me is to know that God could take a guy like me that was a negative thinker and make an optimist out of me. If he can do that for me, he can do it for anybody. Again, at thy word, Lord. Now, he cannot heal you or cannot save you or do one thing for you until you first accept it, believe it, and confess it. That's right. You got to confess it. Not you got to feel it. You got to confess it. He's not the high priest of your feelings. He's the high priest of your confession. That's right, what you confess. And you say, well, I accept it now. And then in the morning, you get up and say, well, I still got that headache. You know, I was so pumped up last night and I made this confession. I guess I shouldn't have made that confession so soon because I don't feel so good this morning. No, you're just starting to fight face battle. Well, I still got that headache. I still feel as bad as I did. You've dropped right down. You'll never live above your confession. Let the saintliest person in this building right now just make up in your mind that you're not a Christian anymore. That's when you become not a Christian. When you go out and say, are you a Christian? No, I used to be, but I'm not no more. Well, you've fallen from grace right then. See, it's faith. It's either faith or unbelief. You're possessed with these two powers, either faith or unbelief. If you've got faith, you're saved because you are a believer. If you haven't got faith, you're a sinner. Again, spiritual adoption. In order to stay with God, stay gentle. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. God is love. Stay meek. Stay self. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon Him. Never use your own mind. Take His thoughts. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over. And say, oh God, take all my doubt away. And let my thoughts be your thoughts. And you sick people, do that as we're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Take God's healing thought. Let them become your thoughts. Think upon these things, the Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue. Listen to this prayer. Beaumont, Texas. Brother Bram's leading the people into prayer. I accept thee as my Savior, my only salvation. I need your strength for my health. I cannot go forward without you. I now accept you as my healer. I renounce the devil and all of his works. From this time henceforth, I will think positive. I will believe every promise. The scripture that says, by his stripes I was healed, I now accept it. I believe it. It's mine. I thank you, Lord. I will continue testifying of my healing until I'm perfectly well. Now, hold still. Keep your hands on one another now, he says. Again, in the Message Absolute, we must stop now looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. Let me ask you tonight, friends, what benefit have you ever gained from looking at the negative side? Why Christ speak? Knowing that we, by the grace of God, possess within our bosom with a consecration to Him this morning, that our lives shall change from this day on that we'll be more positive in our thinking. We will try to live in such sweetness and humility that believing that what we ask God, God will give it to each other. And we will not speak evil against each other or no man. We shall pray for our enemies and love them and do good to them that do bad to us. God is the judge of who is right and wrong. You realize spirits, friends, they'll attack anybody. And we all we all face spirits on a daily basis. Terrible time. But if a spirit can come into the church and cause you to start to wonder and doubt, can cause you to start, okay, I'm not going to think this through, but the spirit has convinced me that the pastor is somehow trying to hold me under his thumb or whatever. He's like somebody else, or he's not looking out for my best interests. Do you realize from that moment on, you'll get nothing from it? Because it's the wrong thinking. What you don't think through, because the Spirit's not going to work it out for you, do the math for you. Well, let's see. In the last 20 years that I've been here, has that happened before? Is this a pattern? Do I have any proof of this? Does my pastor really not care about me? Is the thing that he brought to my attention that I need to change my behavior on, is it that big of a deal? Even if I think it's okay for me to do this or that, is it that big of a deal to just say, okay, I'll commit it into your hands? It's quiet tonight, friends. I can feel it. A person can do everything for you their whole life, and a devil can come along and in the last minute convince you that that guy's no good. Well, what about all the other stuff? Demons aren't even, they're not logical. And anytime something is turning your thinking against what God sent you to help you, you know where it's coming from. And you would do well to examine it. First of all, you should pray about it, and most people don't. They just jump to the conclusion, they're convinced, and they start having bad behavior, and they start showing that they're doubting, but they don't take it to the Lord. And most of the time, it's something that isn't even a big deal. It's like, well, what's the big deal if you don't do that? Whatever it might be, what's the big deal? Actually, a lot of times, friends, that's a good test. In fact, that's a test that I did when the Lord really got a hold of me, the message is coming across my path, because everybody's got a different opinion about what's legal, what isn't, what God loves, what he doesn't love, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And my attitude was, I don't care. I just want to know that it's what God wants me to do. If you don't want me to do this, I'm fine with it. If you do want me to do it, I'm fine with it. I just want to know that I'm doing what you want me to do, or not doing what you don't want. I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to see how close I can get to the cliff and still make it. If anything, I want to hug the side of the mountain. Right? I've shared these things with you before, but I'll just toss it in here real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but, you know, these may sound simplistic, but I was running these tests all the time. You know, when the Lord first got a hold of me, my hair was kind of, you know, a little longer here in the back, and that was kind of the style at the time, you know, and hair was kind of feathered back, you know, and kind of kept a little longer in the back, and something was telling me, you know, why are you doing that, you know? Why don't you just be a normal guy, you know? Why do you want to stand out, you know? Why don't you just get a haircut like most of the other people, right? And the other voice in my head says, well, I don't think it's any big deal, right? And the test that the Lord gave me was tried and true. The Lord told me, okay, here's a simple test. If it's no big deal to have it, it should be no big deal not to have it. I thought about it, and I thought, well, it's a big deal not to have it. I knew right then something had a hold of me. I don't want spirits controlling me. I've always been that way, friends. I don't want to trick or treat just because everybody says trick or treat. I want to know, why are we doing that? Why are we dressing up like demons? Why do we have a colored egg that came out of a bunny? I've never seen a bunny lay an egg. Why do we have to go find them? So people can push us out of the way and we never find them. Somebody else does. And it's a stinky, rotten egg when you find it anyway. Why? Well, because. Why do we have to put on these skinny pants when it was bell bottoms the other day? Why? Who said so? So there's a simple test. So what did I do? I cut that off. A lot of times you don't even know that a spirit's controlling you. And the way to get that spirit off of you is just say, okay, it was no big deal to do it. It should be no big deal not to do it. So I'm just not going to do it. And then you'll find out that something had a hold of you when you're free from it. Then you'll begin to see there was actually a spirit on you that wanted people to look at you. That's why you got the little thing hanging down your neck, you know. You want to look whatever, right? Or how about this? Button your shirt, you know, leave three buttons unbuttoned so that one little hair can point out. And people can see your ribs. Well, I don't think it's a big deal. I'm not doing it for any bad reason. I don't. Well, of course you don't. That spirit's not going to tell you, right? So just put it to a test. Button your shirt and see what happens. You'll live. People will still talk to you. In fact, probably more will. Because you're not that 98-pound weakling that's going around with a shirt unbuttoned. You'll realize then that there was a spirit on you. And you won't want to do that anymore. My wife gave me for our wedding present, I had a 24-karat gold, I forget what, herringbone, or I forget what the design of that, the particular link of that gold necklace. It's not important, but I used to know what the name was. And, you know, for my wedding present, a little golden eagle, right? Just a little, not a big one, not an eagle belt buckle, but just a little. And some evangelist said something, and it just didn't sit right with me. And I'm like, he's picking on me, and I don't think there's any whatever, right? It's usually a pretty good test. If it got a reaction out of you, it might be for you. If it doesn't get a reaction, well, it probably wasn't for you. Unless your heart's hardened. So I meditated on it and thought on it. And I was trying to use the, well, it's an eagle. You know, the message, duh. I didn't know I was an eagle. My wife gave this to me for my wedding present. And it was an eagle. And now I come into the message, eagle, hello. Therefore, I'm supposed to keep it. This evangelist is going right down the line, calling people sissies and, you know, trying to act like a girl. And, you know, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, I'm not the PTL club, you know, with gold chains hanging around my neck. This is just a little necklace, you know. I think it's all right. Now, friends, maybe it is. That's not the point, right? But I was feeling convicted. And I don't like to live in that gray area. I want amen and amen, right? And I want to know, God, I'm not taking any chances with anything. I want to please you. So I did eventually, it wasn't very long afterwards, I did take it off, and I think I gave it to my wife, and I don't remember, did we melt it down to put something in your ring or something? I don't know. I think so. I think that's what we did, so recycled it and put it in something for her. And after I had done that, I realized that it actually had a hold on me. Now, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. Because I'm not saying it's wrong for a guy to wear a little necklace with a little eagle on it. It was wrong for me to do it. It had a hold on me, and I didn't want to let it go. I did let it go, and then I realized that it had a hold on me. If you don't let it go, you'll never know that it had a hold on you, and you'll say, I think it's okay. Everybody understand? And that's the test we all ought to apply to our lives, right? And if you're a born-again believer, you want to be right. When something happens in the church, your first thought ought to be, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I've got the wrong attitude. Maybe I need to pray. Maybe the problem's with me, right? Be a whole lot less problems in the church if we take that approach. But if your first instinct is, I'm going to go tell somebody, pastor had a conversation with me, and it should have been between me and the pastor, but now I've got to go tell somebody else. And probably I won't tell them the same way the pastor told it. And I know that it's going to spin them up because that's why I'm going to tell them. And I know I'm going to get sympathy from them. And that spirit that's on me is going to jump on them too. This is how it happens. The next thing you know, somebody else is mad at you and you don't even have a clue. Right? And if that spirit stays there, it'll never get resolved. And you'll never go any further. And it's such a simple thing. Is it not? Who cares what it is? Who cares? Just get it out of the way. Humble yourself. If that's too humbling, you're not going to heaven. Because there's a whole lot more humbling things than that. Okay, that was a free lesson. How many can say amen to that tonight? Praise the Lord. Okay. Most people don't realize it, but as we go about our daily lives, we're constantly talking, thinking about interpreting the situations we find ourselves in. It's as though we have an internal voice inside our head that determines how we perceive every situation. Psychologists call this inner voice self-talk. And it includes our conscious thoughts as well as our unconscious assumptions or beliefs. My wife's self-talk, you can hear it. I didn't hear any laughs. It's true. Whatever she's thinking, she says it. And it's a good thing she's positive. Because I don't mind it. Her thoughts just flow. She'll have a conversation with me. Because he did. Huh? Because who did? Well, Fred. Fred who? Well, we were just talking about him on Friday. Fred. I'm sorry I didn't hear those other thoughts. But I love that about her. I do. If her self-talk was negative, I wouldn't bring it up, but because it's positive, she talks to our cat, and our cat responds. She had a little Chihuahua dog. It was Chihuahua and, I don't know, something else. Terror. Yeah. You know, it's one of those dogs, you come in the house, oh, he doesn't bite. And then all the owners move away, and he's, well, he doesn't bite. Anybody but me, evidently. That little dog would talk to her, she says. One day she says, that dog said, I love you, Mama. Well, she talked to the dog. I guess the dog couldn't talk to her, too. At least she wasn't saying it was, you know, going to come kill her in the middle of the night. It was always positive. Psychologists call this inner voice self-talk, and it includes our conscious thoughts as well as our unconscious assumptions or beliefs. From our early childhood, we begin to develop self-talk or inner dialogue, which influences our behavior and our responses to the behavior of others. It affects our beliefs about ourselves and consequently our capabilities. It should not therefore be surprising that some self-talk can induce a stress response, while more constructive self-talk can help to overcome it. About self-talk. Self-talk or inner dialogue refers to the internal conversations that we have. These may be very neutral. For example, remember to get the milk on the way home. Or it could be quite judgmental. You idiot! You'll never be able to give a presentation without making a fool of yourself. Because of our self-talk, our self-talk has been with us a long time. We may be barely aware of it. But aware or not, it can have a huge impact on our behavior. Much of our self-talk comes from our parents or other significant authority figures from our childhood. It may also come from other influential figures as we have developed. Teachers, for example. Prolonged exposure to a dominant person, a manager or a work colleague or a partner, may again contribute to our self-talk. Or sometimes, it may be that the statement made in a situation where we were highly susceptible due to deep concentration or high levels of emotion becomes lodged in our subconscious and it becomes part of our inner dialogue. Our self-talk may originate from some previous experience which has had significant impact on us. Remember Brother Branham talking about a girl that was chased by a dog and was scared, and Brother Branham had to go all the way back into time, see that, and said, that's why you're in the condition you're at right now, right? And deal with that, because it became self-taught. It became something that was embedded. A difficult relationship, an unsuccessful work experience, an acute embarrassment. One function of our self-talk may be to help us avoid the same pain or embarrassment again. Thus, we may tell ourselves not to get involved in a relationship because, after all, it didn't work out before, right? We'll only be let down. Or not to apply for promotion, we'll be out of our depth. Or not to be outgoing socially, we'll make a fool of ourselves. These instructions may run counter to what we consciously want for ourselves, and the conflict which can result from our acting against them may be in itself lead to increased stress. This is just from science. The Word has already told us these things. Okay, I'm going to pull over here in just a moment. I got a few more statements to read. Someone says, well, I'm just not worthy. I guess maybe I've done this. He says, get that out of your mind. Sure you're not. You'll never be. But Jesus is. And he's the one that'll give it to you. He's the one who paid the price. Whosoever will, let him come and drink freely from the fountains of the water of life. God bless you. Again, because that we keep our mind on the church and not on this organization or on this group or on this woman or on that man, take your mind off of them. They'll fail. Put your mind on Christ. On his word. Then it can't fail. Let him be your example. Not no man. Let him be your example. Again, a lot of times these people passing through the country called divine healers, people take them for an example. You better get your mind off of them. That's right. You keep your mind on Christ. He's the one to keep your mind on. Not on your pastor. Love your pastor and respect him. He's an honorable man, a man of God, truly. But keep your mind on Christ and your affections set on Christ. Now, if I'm just like all the other guys, other pastors that you've ran into, why do I read these quotes? Shouldn't I be saying, I never fail? Right or wrong, I'm right. I've never said those things, and I never will. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to drive a spirit out. Some of these spirits are pretty shrewd. And pretty bold. But I'm on to you. This is my brothers. This is my sisters. This church is moving on. We love one another. Nothing's going to separate us. We're bound together by His love. United in spirit, united in thought, united in purpose, united in doctrine, united in hope, united in Him. I believe that. You say, well, you're a positive thinker. Well, you know, see where it gets you with your thinking. I believe it. I'm in expectation tonight, friends. You're too optimistic. Sure beats the alternative. I also have more success. I don't know if it's a gift in my life. I believe that it probably is. But I would face problems. This is all my life. But let's just talk about work as an example. I would run into barriers, problems, and I couldn't solve the problem. But I never gave up. I thought, there's got to be a solution to this. There's got to be, I don't know. I don't know what to do next. But I know there's got to be a way through this. And I go to sleep. And I wake up in the middle of the night and just as clear as day. That's it. It's like, where did that come from? It's inspiration. The hard part is then trying to explain it to everybody. You're better off just proving it, right, than trying to explain it, because now you've got to deal with their hang-ups and their mental this and that and the other. But I know that I found the solution, and it works out to be that way. But what if I didn't believe that? What if I gave up? What if my approach or attitude was, well, we probably won't find a solution, or I'll never solve that? That inspiration couldn't drop. What I'm trying to tell you is maybe there's some inspiration waiting to drop in your life, but it's waiting for you to believe it. And you got to believe it before it happens. I had no proof that there was a solution, but I knew there had to be. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I just share these things with you because I want it to be helpful. Because we live in our own little world sometimes, and our self-talk has got us convinced. You know, we've already got the movie, and it's the same movie. We'll never watch another one. Don't you get tired of reruns? Wouldn't you like to see a different movie? Isn't it possible to see a different movie? Yeah, it is. The movie that I'm seeing right now is a completely different movie than before God got a hold of my heart. It has a different ending. This one has a happy ending. And yes, they do all live happily ever after in this movie. That's the way you got to look at it, friends. People without a vision perish. You've got to have a vision. You got to see what you're walking into, right? It means you're looking for it. It means you're guarding your mind. It means you're keeping a positive attitude. And the church says, okay, I got to hurry so I don't become a liar. A lot of times people passing through the country, okay, we read that. Again, tested faith produces goods. God doesn't heal you upon the merits of salvation, of your salvation. He heals you upon the merits of your faith. You must believe Him. What do you have to lose? Because the Christian sometimes thinks that God owes it to them. Well, I'm a good person. I've done so and so. When you get that in your mind, you'll never get anything from God till you get that out of your mind. You owe God, not God owing you. Again, you say, I go to church, Lord. I accepted You as my Savior, but I believe that the days of miracles is past. How can God work in a heart like that? You got to have your mind made up. You're going to do what you want to do. God can't tell you nothing. Then if He can't do that, how can He give you faith? Why, you just let Him stand in the door, and every word that He says in the Scripture, you say amen to it and accept it. That's what takes place when Jesus stands in the door of faith. Again, time of decision. Faith comes by hearing. What do you think about it? It's up to you to make your choice. I would advise you not to put it off. You say, well, I've always longed to receive the Holy Spirit. I better think it over. He says, don't think it over. This is the time. It's the truth. I believe that God would heal me someday. Well, as long as you keep in your mind, you keep that in your mind, you're a defeated person. God healed you 1900 years ago. Now is the day of your decision. When you hear the message that Christ was wounded for your transgressions and with his stripes you are healed, this is the time now to believe it. Last one, Jehovah of miracles. If you want angels to appear, why don't we stand here tonight? If you want angels to appear to you, how many believes that's possible? Scripture tells us to be careful how we treat other people, because some people have entertained angels unaware. Can you think of anything sadder than that? You actually had an angelic visitation. An angel took on flesh, veiled behind flesh, visited you. Or maybe it didn't take on flesh, but that anointing came into your room or whatever, and you missed it. If you want angels to appear to you, keep your mind on God and off of the things of the world. Go about your business. Go to your church. Go to your washing of dishes. Whatever you are, wherever you are, keep your mind on Him all day and all night long. Then God will do something. Friends, I'm not being... Please don't take this... I've got some experience now. I've got some gray hair. I've got some bumps on my head. I've learned a thing or two about a thing or two. I'm trying to impart the wisdom from experience, hard-earned experience, right? So I hear people tell me, you know, I just can't... I can't sleep, and it's just I'm depressed and I'm discouraged and I just can't sleep. Well, why don't you do something with that time? And you say, that's mean and cruel. I've had to do it. I do have to do it. I have a harder time sleeping now than I ever have in my entire life. But I make good with that time. I think good thoughts. How can you be depressed when you're thinking good thoughts? I put my mind on Him. I pray. I pray for Brother Oscar. He comes on my mind. Is that true? I don't know. Maybe. It is true. I pray all of you come on my mind at one time or another. What better time? Oh, woe is me. I can't sleep. And I'm thinking about Brother Verlin and what he's gone through. Okay, why don't you pray for Brother Verlin then? Maybe that's why you can't sleep. Don't woe is me. Redeem that time. Don't turn that negative into a positive. How many knows this works? If you want angels to appear, keep your mind on God and off the things of the world. Go about your business. Go to your church. Go to your washing of dishes, wherever you are. Keep your mind on Him all day long and all night long. Then God will do something. You're drawing close to Him. You've got the world shut out. Just you and He are together. I'm so lonely. You got Him? All I got is you, Lord. What do you mean, all you got? If you've got Him, you've got everything. He will never tattle on you. He will never take something that you share with Him and tell somebody else. He will never doubt you. He will never condemn you. He's the true friend. He will tell you what you need to hear and not what somebody wants to tell you to manipulate and flatter. That's what a true friend would do. He wants what's best for you. He knows what's best for you. His advice is the best advice. Just get shut in with Him. Walk with Him. Instead of looking at, I don't have a friend in the world, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. That's just like, I can't sleep. Instead of looking at that, realize, wow, that gives me more time to spend with you. That gives me more time to talk with you and walk with you. How many knows that's true? Thinking his thoughts. It takes effort, friends. And as long as you're breathing, there's going to be effort. He's doing the work, but you've got a part to play in this too. You've got to get yourself into condition. You've got to bring yourself under yourself, as Paul said. Keep yourself under yourself. Sweeten your life with prayer. Read your Bible, pray. Give him something to anoint. Give him something to reveal to you. I'll teach you whatsoever things you've heard. Well, I haven't heard too much. Well, how's he going to teach you? Hallelujah. This is the best life there is. Yeah, it's hard, but it's the best life there is. Sure, life is without meaning without him. And you're going to have trials whether you serve him or not. Right? Might as well serve him and know that there's a purpose. It's not meaningless suffering. It's character building. Something's being worked in you. And you will be a better person. You'll be stronger, more mature, more surrendered when you come through the other side of that trial. You're not raising your hand saying, give me another one, or I sure appreciated that. The fiery trials of the present, they seem heavy or whatever, but they're not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. They're working something in you, aren't they, friends? We gotta stay positive. Right. I'm saying this to the local church. I don't care who's listening or who might be listening to my local church. Squeeze out any negative thoughts. Right. We've dealt with that for so long. Let's unite. Amen. You can see what would happen. Yeah. Let's keep that. Think the very best of one another. Amen. Always assume that you might have misunderstood something. Always humble yourself. And think good thoughts. God will do great things. Friends, I saw it, as I said, I'm trying to pull over, I'm trying to close. If I could see that at work in the scientific realm, if I could see the effect of my attitude and my approach and my ability to lead teams, my ability to put vision before people, to unite them together with purpose and direction, and they had all different kinds of backgrounds, that's supernatural. All different kinds of backgrounds, and point them towards the same goal. And say, let's go do this. And then we go do it. If that will work in the natural, how about the spiritual? If that'll work in business, why won't it work in the body of Christ? It will. It does. But we just got to recognize our enemy. We got to recognize the things that will try to separate us. We got to recognize the things that will try to keep us from thinking positive thoughts. And we got to make that effort. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It works, friends. I'm not preaching something I don't know anything about. It works. And I know that many, many of you here tonight, You know this is true. You know it. We're on the right path. Is there any doubt here tonight? Is there any doubt whether or not you should be here? Is there any doubt whether or not you should believe what you're believing? Is there any doubt whether or not he is leading you to your destination? Is there any doubt that he's overcoming? Is there any doubt that he's giving you the word that you need in due season? No doubt in my mind. I see it, friends. Amen. I see myself in the vision. Guess what? I see you there too. Amen. Amen. Let's do this. Let's take President Obama's campaign slogan, "Yes, we can." He never said what it was that we could do, but
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Make Christianity great again.
Oh, wait, that's another one.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus makes me whole.
I don't know where that came from, but I guess we learned it at one time.
Positive.
Well, I'm positive we're going to fail. Not that kind of positive.
Positive. Praise the Lord.
I think you believe that, don't you? Yeah, you do. Yeah.
You do believe it.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you with from the depths of our soul. Lord, we know that we're in your hands. We know that you're leading us, guiding us. There's not a doubt in our minds, not a doubt in our hearts. All that's in our minds right now is positive thinking. All that's in our minds is amen and amen. Lord, we're living in such a time of confusion, a time of doubt, a time of going from pillar to post. And the theme of the hour, if there is a theme in the world, is to question everything. And the result of it is that there's no absolute. The result of it is just more doubting. The result of it is opinions and no certainty. Nobody knowing what to do or where to go. We've got entire nations of people that are internalizing their fears and worries and frets because of all the uncertainty. Well, can I trust that? Can I believe that? And here, Lord, we have more than any church has had in any other age, any people have ever had in any other age. We got the full counsel of God. We've got the restored word. We've got the word in us. We have the spirit of the word living in us, revealing his word to us, leading us and guiding us. You know the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. We've got the answer to the questions, whatever it might be for our lives and for our days. We've got an anchor. We've got a sureness. We've got so many positive thoughts that we can meditate on that if we just spend our time, there wouldn't be, they're just, if we just decided within ourselves, I'm gonna review and think every positive thought that God has presented to me. There's not enough time in our lifetime to think every single one of those thoughts and then start on the negative thinking. There's just not enough time. Because we wouldn't exhaust all the positive thoughts. Not only do we have these positive thoughts, but you continue to reveal these things to us in greater and greater levels and depths. We feast upon it, and it just builds. It builds more positive thoughts. It causes us to recognize who we are, to know. Not to wonder, not to fear, but to know. To know who we are, to know what we are, to know who you are. To know what we're doing here, to know where we're going, to know where we came from, to know what our purpose is, to know what's right and what isn't. What a blessed people that we are. The world filled with so much doubt and negativity, and yet we've got all the positives. We're not in another church age where everybody's still wondering, but we've got amen and amen and amen. Help us, God, to recognize what we have a hold of or what has a hold of us. Help us to walk in it, Lord. Help us to stay true to your word. Help us to gird our the loins of our minds, Lord, to keep things tight, to be sober-minded, to be lowly in our thinking, to, Lord, to have that love for one another, to where we consider one another, knowing that you'll take care of ourselves. To be united in faith, to be united in purpose, to be united in spirit, united in doctrine,
united in you, Lord. The enemy's going to get a knockout punch. The enemy's not going to keep us down, Lord. Your word will prevail. But we've got to give your word a place in our hearts. We've got to give your word a place to pass, a channel to pass it through our minds and to pass into our minds on the way out to perform the very things that you sent it to do. And it will do it, Lord. You will do it. The word will perform these things. Bless each and every one, Lord. Heal every heart, Lord. Father, any misunderstandings, Lord, may they be cleared up. Any doubts, may they be settled, Lord. May we just be resting in you, our confidence in you, and our confidence in what you're doing. Thank you for this family, Lord. Thank you for this body. Thank you for allowing us to be part of it, Lord. Now may we unite together, Lord, as a body. And Lord, may we see the glory of the Lord. May we see your will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we've got loved ones that we don't have time to waste with wondering and this and that. We got loved ones to hold out for. We got friends and neighbors. We got a work that's still left to do. We got promises to walk more fully in. So, Lord, we want amen and amen and amen in our lives. Grant it, oh God. Help us to endeavor, Lord, to walk in these things. Grant it. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You're all I want. Yes, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Draw me close to you, yes, Lord, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Oh Lord, you are my desire. Yes, Lord, no one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place. That's the truth. Lord, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Yes, Lord, help me find a way. Lord, bring me back to you. Bring me back, oh Lord. For you're all I want. Desire tonight. Hallelujah. Never let me go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I lay it all down again. Oh, to hear you say that I'm your friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are my desire. Yes, you are, Lord. And no one else will do. I don't want anyone else, Lord. Because nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.